I'll call on Jehovah God. I know he can do it. And so there's the background. Go and call all Israel. America needs to turn the face and the faith and the interest and concern of the people of our land and the world back to God. And if Christian people don't do it, who will? We're saved to do it. We're blessed to do it. We're commanded to do it. We're constrained to do it. And there's no hope otherwise than doing it through individuals coming together and making a group and groups of groups and on, that it might go out and impress this needy world. I don't know what we think about God. I heard of one evangelist said, poor God, poor God, poor God. And I think I joined with one I read who said, poor evangelist, poor evangelist. Sure, it breaks the heart of God, but at the same time, it's man that's in trouble. And God knows what to do and how to do it. He's sovereign. I don't have time to discuss that word, sovereign God. We don't believe it, do we? That God is sovereign all my life, your life, every life. He'll let you go. He respects our will. But when we've gone, we'll trip ourselves, and God says, I warned you, I pled with you, I loved you. You wouldn't respond. And therefore, you'll have to receive some of the retribution that you've brought on yourself. I wouldn't be true love and dependable in love unless I stood righteously. So he led Adam and Eve outside the gate. And I suppose he's done it with every individual since who rebelled against him. Retribution will come. Be not mocked. Or beware, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. So far as I know, that's never been changed even by the perfect life of Jesus. We're required to come up to the plan and the will of our God in the light of truth, purity, genuineness. And we need to know his mind and his love and his sacrifice for our sake. And we'll never get it apart from repenting of our sins, putting our faith in his Son as our Redeemer. Yes, get the people. And I don't know of anything, I think, that would disturb the heart of our Father than for Christian people to quit going afield and get the people. That's our business. Go after the people. Love the people. House to house after people. Bring them into the house of the Lord, if you can, but witness to them in their own houses, wherever they may be, where we work, where we're in school, where we spend our activities, whatever it may be. Get the people's interest. Get them interested. Oh, God, save us from the indifference and say they're not interested. That's our business, to get them interested in God and souls and world, purity and righteousness. That's what we're here for, what we're saved for. Amen. The next thing is, we've got to have a changed heart, a changed order, if we really are willing to go out and bring, let God through us bring an awakening. You notice, when the Israelites had failed in their sacrifice to Baal, no fire came. Elijah said, tear out that altar. They tore it out. Bring me 12 stones, one representing each of the 12 tribes of Israel, the sons of Jacob. And they brought him 12 stones. And with the 12 stones, he built an altar in the name of Jehovah. And so it may be that the preacher will have to let God change altars, that the deacons will, that the teachers will, that the leaders will, that the Christians will, that I will, that you will, under God today. Completely change altars and enthrone God as sovereign through Jesus Christ as Savior of our souls. No farther all with God. No hypocrisy with God. No sham with God. Just as pure and true and deep in love as it can be. How wonderful is our God. He wants to be known by every creature made in his image. Every little girl, every boy, every young life, every young adult, every mature adult, every aged person, he wants to be known in his depth and breadth of life. And the people that's the salt of the earth are those who know him, know he's real, know he's right, always has been right, and will ever be right. Amen. Sometimes act silly when we think we know more than God does and know better than God does. Look out, the nation. When you go to making laws that adverse to the laws of God, you're on the toboggan diamond. You'll never rise up by it. Throw away the Lord's day. Get dishonest in your manner of life. Cheat as you go along. Commit adultery and fornication. Go your way. You'll never build it up adverse to the laws of God. Am I foolish? Listen to me. Am I foolish to make a declaration a man better not make laws in this world contrary to the laws of God? When you do, you started down and ceased to going up. Whether it's in your individual life, your family life, the community life, the church life, the state legislatures, or the United States Senate, or whatever it may be, you better stay in harmony with the laws of the eternal God. If you don't, you will pay for it, going away, leaving them all. So Elijah said, change the order. And they changed the old order, threw it out, brought him 12 stones, and he built a new order in the name and for the sake of Jehovah. Better not try to preach a sermon without that order being right. Better not try to sing a solo or an anthem or anything unless you're willing to change the order, because the blessings come when you're preaching right, singing right, and righteously, and living right, and righteously. Am I getting anywhere today? Amen. Oh God, come and speak to us today, right here. Maybe not by fire, but the fire of the Holy Ghost in every soul here. What's the use of it? There's no hypocrisy about it. It's the call of the Lord. We'd better answer it. The next thing he said, you'll have to work. Build me an altar, or rather bring me the stones, and I'll build it. Dig me a trench around me. Go and get me 4 measures of water. Elijah put them to work. Sometimes you find a place, church, that wants a preacher to do everything. Don't tell anybody I said it, but they do. That's what we pay him for. Exactly so. But the wise preacher is turning to get the people to do what God saved them to do. Now you say amen and you're ready to call a preacher. Not that he'll do everything for you, but he'll lead you to do what God saved you to do. I don't hear an amen. But I said the truth. Dr. E.Y. Mullins said there's no place in this sin-cursed world for a lazy preacher. And there isn't. But I say there's no place then for a lazy deacon, or a lazy Sunday school teacher, or a lazy Christian. We're to be up with our Lord, busy pouring out our life. We haven't got but one to witness to other lives. Cultivate and create within them, or create and cultivate in them, an interest in the things of the soul. And so there it is. Bring the people. Change the order. Take off your coat and roll up your sleeve and go to work for the glory of God. Don't tell me you don't have time. He's arranged plenty of times. We know we're busy people. Ought to be. It's an honorable thing to be an honest worker, no doubt about it, but not to push the Lord's work entirely aside in behalf of the work for our bodies, for our souls' need, as much or more than our bodies. We're not to neglect the body, but neither are we to neglect the soul. How true that is. Give it our best. And now there it was. He had the thousands of people. And he had a new altar, and he had a new bullock, and there it was, no fire. And as I said a while ago, I see him step over that little trench filled with water, stand by that altar, and with that aged head lifted to God, and pray the prayer, oh Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph. Hear me this day that this people, this very people here, may know that thou, Jehovah, art God. Hear me, O God, that they may turn their hearts back to thee and say that thou art the living God. And open your eyes and look at that fire coming down. Taking hold of that sacrifice and burning it and licking those stones and drying up those trenches. And then look at that crowd. Oh, Spirit of God, come today upon us. Look at that crowd falling upon their faces, weeping and crying. Jehovah, He is God. Jehovah, He is God. God, my little prayer from this pulpit is, don't let a boy, a girl, a man, a woman go away from this building and say, God wasn't here. Oh, God, come and speak to every heart. My heart, your heart, our heart, here. And that we'll go away and say, I got a new experience of God. I have a new vision of God. That's brought a new vision to me as to what I should be, what I should do. And I want to lay my life on that altar and say, here, my Lord, take me. Boys and girls, hear me. God loves you. Jesus died for you to save you from your sin. And you'll remain a sinner until you. Mother can't decide for you. Daddy can't. Preacher can, baptism can, but Jesus wants to save you. Save you. The same for you, dear young people. You may be saved. He doesn't want you to throw your life away then with the devil after you have professed him as Savior. He'll stay in there with you and help if you'll let him. And then you middle-aged people, distressed times it may be, but be sure above and beneath it all that you've got your hand of faith and the hand of God's grace through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, reaching out for you and you and you. Amen. Then walk down the aisle and profess Him and declare that He saved you. And you want to profess Him, unite with His church, follow Him in baptism and live for it. Dear Baptists, member of this church, lay your life on the altar of praise. You dear Baptists who are from out yonder with membership at a distance, oh, wouldn't it be good for you to find the church home and get right into it somewhere or another and be busily engaged rather than losing time in this thing of letting God give a great spiritual awakening to every soul of our land and out to the 3.5 billion of people over this needy world today. That's God's invitation to you. And I stepped down to meet you there while we're standing singing. 41. Just a minute, please, and our clerk will give us the names of these who come. If you will, please stand and give the names, and then I'll ask them to stand here by my side.
Mr. and Mrs. Charles A. Pittman, 607 Grove Road, Pine Lake. Desire to unite with our church with letter from the Shirlington Baptist Church of Macon, Georgia.
Thank you so much, and if you'll stand right here, please, Mr. and Ms. Pittman. How nice it is to have you come today. You are from a rather new church down in Macon, too. I know when Shirlington was started and the pastors that she's had since the beginning. Believe it or not, I used to be interim pastor. They call it interim. I thought I was assistant or associate pastor. Mabel White? Yeah, when I was a student at Mercer there.
a little different from what it was.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's right. But how good to have you come from the city in the center of the state, up here to the capital of the state in this area, and above it all, to have you come into the life of this dear church. You are coming to a warm hearted and a church that has wonderful possibilities, and each day I hope and pray they're getting a better vision of what's happening around them in this wonderful area. How fine to have you come in and help them in reaching out here after the people because of the challenge that's presented to us. And we appreciate the fact that you come and God's richest blessing upon you. I'm going to ask the congregation to pass on it, but of course you were voted on in the conference. But all these who favor receiving these as stated, will you please raise your hand there? Hold them up there now. Just hold them up. Aren't those hands wonderful? Don't they look pretty? Yes, sir. Beautiful hands. All of them are beautiful hands. Thank you so very much. And we are so glad to have you come. And our concern is that you'll find here a good, warm-hearted church. And that you'll get that which will answer your needs. And we know we'll find in you good, faithful, loyal, understanding, cooperating workers, and be concerned about advancing the cause of Christ. Just remain standing here. After the benediction, then you'll come and shake hands with these people. I like to say it, because they sometimes sort of act like city folk, but they look like country folks to me here. And so we like to give them that high privilege, and they're wonderful in it. To come and let them know how glad they are to have you come into the life of this church. God's richest blessing upon you. Now, I'm going to say again, I pray that you'll be here tonight. I hope you'll make an effort to be here tonight. The banquet of this world. We're going to talk about it lovingly, tenderly, but just as frankly. Thank thee for thy presence with us today and for this fine group of worshipers. God bless each one, and as we go away, may any seed that has been dropped here be received into the heart and come forth to bear a fruition that will honor thee and enrich the heart of the one who's received that seed and inspire that one to a closer walk with thee and a greater loyalty to witness to thee, to this needy world that surrounds us all on the outside. Forgive us of each sin, for Christ's sake. Amen. Just remain standing.